Please stand. The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus' point is that that day is going to be unexpected, just like when the rain fell was unexpected, but Noah was still ready in faith, trusted the Lord. And so Jesus teaches us through faith, you are ready for God's unexpected coming. We read, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming one. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon today is from Psalm 18. It's a rather lengthy psalm, about 50 verses, so we just chose some of those verses to focus on for our sermon, which are printed out for you in the bulletin. At this time, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So how carefully do you watch the weather? Some people are cool not to know anything at all about the weather that's coming because so often the weather changes and the people can't do anything to change the weather. But other people, they always have to have that weather forecast on their own radar. Because they want to know if the winds are going to be hazardous, if the roads are going to be slippery, or if the rain is going to delay some of their plans. It can probably be a good idea, especially on mornings like this one, to keep an eye on the weather forecast, right? Because it can affect your travel plans. Keeping an eye on the weather can also affect what you do with your fields or how you go about your work day. Yet as we consider Jesus coming again at the end of time, God wants you and me to keep a careful watch on the weather. It makes the difference between life and death, between peace and panic, between salvation and condemnation. He wants us to keep an eye on the weather, and the forecast calls for deliverance. First, we'll talk about cloudy skies, then about a clear conscience, then about mud. King David wrote Psalm 18, led by the Holy Spirit, after he was delivered from the hands of Saul and from his other enemies. Imagine what it would have been like running away from Saul with death nipping at your heels like David. Maybe you've had a close call with a car accident, or maybe a brush with death in the line of duty, or a bout with cancer, and you know how those kinds of things can get your adrenaline pumping and your priorities focused. Well, David spent much of his life dodging spears from King Saul. He was lowered out of windows to try to get away from him. He ran around the hillsides, hiding in caves and in forests. David was encountered by raiding armies, armies from foreign countries. His own men even talked about stoning him once. In battles, David had to watch out for arrows and swords and javelins. King David had death howling behind him and a torrent raging around him for so much of his life. Yet as David called on the Lord, we heard about it as we sang Psalm 18 before, the Lord is his strength. Listen to this picture of how the Lord delivered David. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. What a glorious picture. A picture of the Lord coming with deliverance, the Lord coming with angels, the Lord coming with a resounding voice, the Lord coming for his people. Isn't that what we just sang about in the last hymn? Lo, he comes with clouds descending. What a beautiful picture of Jesus coming with deliverance for you and his men, for me, his people, just as it is pictured here in Psalm 18. Even though you and I didn't have the same experiences as David did, we have just as urgent of a need to call on the Lord for deliverance from death. Think about the way death confronts humans with heart attacks, strokes, tumors, dementia, infections, tragic accidents in the workplace, or with weapons, or on the highways. Temptation comes assailing. Guilt assaults us. And in the end of our time here, assassinated by the wages of sin. We have an urgent need. Death rages all around us to call on the Lord for help, for deliverance, for rescue from death. But unfortunately, the way we so often react to the subject of death is either by denial or despair. We deny the urgent need for deliverance from death when we think to ourselves, I'm really not that bad. The things that I've done in life, it doesn't really deserve death. And it's been quite a while since I've messed up really bad. I've been pretty good lately, better than most other people, really. So we look for ways to put off thinking about death, come up with all kinds of distractions, whether it's hobbies or busy schedules or career or other things. And so often we deny our urgent need to call on the Lord for deliverance from death. But when we're not doing that, chances are it's happened to us at one point or another where we despair over death. I've done some horrible things in my life. I'm hopeless. I can't believe how I've fallen into that same sin over and over and over again. I don't deserve the Lord delivering me. And when death looms and lurks and lingers in old age or in sickness, start to doubt. Is this really just the end of everything for me? What was the purpose of all this anyway? And keep watch. Be aware. The Lord will come at a time when no one expects him. He will come with deliverance for his people. He will come with a storm of disaster for all who are indifferent or in despair or in doubt or in denial about him. When the Lord comes, he wants to deliver you and me. He wants to deliver us. He wants to deliver everyone. He wants to deliver us out of death, into life, into eternal security. So keep watch. He's coming with the clouds. Forecast calls for deliverance. But it's also clear. Now that may sound strange at first. How can the forecast be cloudy and clear at the same time? Aren't those complete opposites? Yet this next section of Psalm 18 brings out some real opposites in Scripture's teaching and in every believer. Listen. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Did you hear David there? Doesn't it sound as though he thinks he deserves the Lord's deliverance? Yet remember, this is David. Isn't David the one who in Psalm 51 said, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me"? Isn't David the one who stole another man's wife and had that man killed just to cover it up? David had darkness in his heart and blood on his hands, didn't he? Isn't David the one who later in life counted on his own military strength more than on the Lord of hosts, following Satan's inciting? How can David call himself blameless and bright, righteous and rewarded, clear and clean? How can David say that? Well, the righteousness David speaks of, as you read over those words, it's not a righteousness of being haughty. It's a righteousness of being humble. It's a righteousness that didn't come from himself. It's a righteousness that came from the Lord. He said, "The Lord turns my darkness into light." It's not a righteousness that was by David's own works. It was a righteousness that was by faith, which happened to show itself in works as well. This is what the Holy Spirit wants you and me to have. This same confidence, this same clear conscience, this same cleanness that David talks about here. He wants you and me to be able to stand when the Lord returns and to know that we trust his deliverance. We are clear of all wrongdoing by faith. And that can only be because of the place where such opposites met, at the cross. There at the cross, darkness and light, death and life, suffering and serenity, hurt and healing all met in Jesus. As Jesus took the storm surge of God's wrath, as Jesus became the lightning bolt for the punishment that we deserved, as Jesus had the flood of the world's sins crushing down on him, as Jesus was pelted with hail of insults and accusations for us, as the cords of the grave reached out around Jesus and the grave took him in, all so that you and I can stand clear and clean and confident before the Lord when he comes again. Jesus on the cross took the monsoon for us, and at our baptisms cleared us of all wrongdoing. Because Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they want us to be able to stand clear every day in God's sight. We can stand clear in our own feelings, in our own heart, in our own soul, in our own mind because of Jesus at the cross. We can live clear so others can see that in our lives. To be perfectly clear, the Lord is coming. And the forecast for you and me is good. It's a forecast that calls for deliverance. It's one where you and I are clear of all sin in Jesus. But now we also have to talk a little bit about some mud. King David, in the course of his life, he did shed some blood wrongfully. But he also shed a lot of blood rightfully. King David, as a sword in the Lord's hand, he struck down Goliath the Philistine. David, with a crown on his head, he was a terror to the enemies of the Lord. King David was an agent of the Lord's wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Listen to how he puts that here in Psalm 18. "I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. They cried out for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as dust borne on the wind. I poured them out like mud in the streets." When you and I think of mud, we might think of it as a nuisance when we're trying to keep our floors clean inside during the winter. We may think of mud as a risk when we're out driving on the highway, so we don't slip and slide all over the place or getting stuck when we're off-road. But here, David speaks of mud as something that you pour out, get rid of, so that it can be trampled underfoot out on the streets. That's one way that the Lord delivers his people here until he comes again. He uses government to do so. Now we might wonder, shouldn't government be kind? Shouldn't government be concerned and careful instead of being callous? Well, in Romans 13, God says that the government is a sword that the Lord wields to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. They have the authority to bring people to justice, even to the point of taking life. That could be a police officer. That could be someone in the military as an arm or an agent of the government taking life. King David was a good king. Yes, even though he had a sinful nature and fell into sin a few times over the course of his life, the Bible characterizes him as a king after the Lord's own heart. There was actually a song that the Israelites sang about David. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. King David was a good king, godly government. Maybe you've heard the expression, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. We as people of the Lord, we want our government to be willing to keep peace, even to the point of taking life, to punish the evildoer, to be willing to pour out some mud. We as people of the Lord want to pray for our government. We want government that's willing to do that so that we can worship the Lord, so that we can serve the Lord, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives and spread the word of the Lord. The forecast calls for deliverance. Sometimes the Lord chooses to use government to pour out some mud as a way of delivering his people. So when severe weather strikes, you go. I remember vividly last year the tornado sirens went off around here. People huddled in hospital hallways. People had to retreat down to their basements and hunker down. People were gathered and huddled into the middle of large stores. But no matter how dangerous or deadly things get here, you and I have a fortress. We have a stronghold. We have a refuge in the Lord. Forecast calls for deliverance. As we keep watch for him, remember he will come with the clouds to rescue his people and to rout his enemies. Remember when he comes that we will be clear through faith in Jesus, clear of all sin. Remember that until he comes, he will oftentimes use government to pour out the wicked and the evildoer like mud. So we watch the weather forecasts. So often they change. So often they're undependable. So often they're uncertain. But not this forecast. This forecast cannot be changed. When the Lord comes with deliverance for his people, he is our strength. He is our song. He is worthy of praise. Amen. Please stand.